Welcome to the We Know Running podcast, where runners of all levels come for expert level knowledge. In today's episode, Coach Tom and I are covering running workouts. We'll cover what they are, why you're doing them, and some ways to tell if you are doing them correctly. If you have ever heard the word fartlek, tempo, yasso, or interval and been extremely confused, then this is the episode for you. Let's get to it. All right, welcome back to the We Know Running podcast, a podcast where runners of all levels come to get better at running while they run. I'm joined again by Coach Tom. Coach Tom, thanks for coming in.
All good, Jordy. It's good to see you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, been far too long, and this is such a good conversation. We're talking about five key running workouts for runners, and this is one you're going to have to dive in because this is not at all my area of specialty. When it comes to programming, when it comes to actual training, I have my coach. They write down my program. I say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and I just rock up, do the session, and I don't really understand most of the time why I'm doing it. And I feel like all throughout my running career, that's been the case. And if I'm feeling that, I guarantee most of the listeners are feeling that. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because when I first did a proper running program, it blew my mind how good I felt and how well I performed in the race. And that's going to sound weird, like, yeah, obviously, but the reason I did is because I did all of these different types of workouts. I didn't know what I was doing and why I was doing it. I just did them and I felt so good because my coach was able to take my body and develop it in a way to make me such a better runner.
Yeah, that's completely right. It's just, it's important to know every running workout, every key running workout has a meaning behind it. And it's something that it's progressing and it's building, it's compound interest. If we take a step back and go right back to being a beginner, like we all went out and just ran something as hard as we possibly could. And like, we had no idea what a workout is. And then when we tried to progress, we tried to get better, we're trying to get a quicker 5K time. What do? We all went to Google, didn't we? And they came up with heaps of running workouts like Yassos, 800s, hill sprints, and periodized progression run, lateral runs, fartlek. Anyway, there's heaps of them. And I Googled this and then I just was like so confused. I was like, I don't understand any of this. What's a yasso? Like, what is this? Is this some American term or whatever? It's fartlek. And then I pretty much threw it all away. Like, I just didn't understand it. I just went, oh, I'm just going to go back out and run as hard as possibly can and just destroy myself. But ultimately there's five key running workouts or five runs that make up a week of running. So, and these five are recovery run, endurance run, steady state run, tempo run, and then your running intervals. And these are all done at different intensities. Before I go into the key workouts, there's three things I need to make clear first. They are, what are your zones? What is RPE? And what is frequency? So what are your zones? Your zones are just your heart rate, which it can be from 60% all the way up to 100%. And it's just percentage of your heart rate. For something that's low intensity, it's going to be around 50 to 60%. And then something that's high intensity, it's going to be towards the 90% to 100% of your maximal effort. RPE is just your rate of perceived exertion or effort. And it's dictated personally by yourself because it changes from each person. One, your easy effort, it's going to be nothing. And 10 is maximal effort. And that's how you dictate how hard you are going to be working within these workouts. And the frequency of it is how many times are you actually doing this a week? Is it once a week or is it five times a week?
So you would say then, Coach Tom, this is probably one of those scenarios where it's really important that you have, say, a watch or a heart rate band on you. Plus, you're also being pretty in tune with your body because you need both sets, right? Like, you need the subjective data from how you're feeling to give the RPE, and you need the objective data of, hey, what was my heart rate actually in that workout?
Yeah, definitely. Heart rate is pretty hard to judge as well because it's only on a wrist. Using a watch, it's, you don't really use it. You're pretty much just going to use it as your resting heart rate. So being more of an RPE scale is something that you're in tune with yourself and everyone can relate to it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think an important point to make is they are pretty inaccurate and we've got a whole episode talking about that. But the thing is that you do need a guide, especially if you're starting, you're going through these workouts. I know for sure when I started programming, when I started seeing recovery runs and steady states and tempos, and I had to work at a certain RPE and I had to get into certain zones, I still had to understand what my zones were. So understanding, okay, you know, when I do this type of run at this intensity, at this RPE, it's this zone. So this is my zone two, and this is my zone three, and this is my zone four, and my zone five. And this is how I feel. And that having a good understanding of that is really important because it allows you to get the most out of these runs, because you don't want to be doing one type of workout, but then actually pushing your body too hard that you're not actually getting out of that workout what you should be. Because I think the biggest thing a lot of beginner runners, the mistake that they make is they don't appreciate that to become a really good half marathon runner or a marathon runner or whatever it is, you have to develop your body in a certain way. You have to put certain stresses in your body and then you have to adapt to that stress. And that's what we're doing in training. When Coach Tom tells me to go out and do a recovery run and a steady state run and all these things we're going to talk about, he's telling me to do that because he wants to elicit certain stresses on my body and then certain adaptations that are going to build my system into me being a better half marathoner, a better marathoner, ultra marathoner, whatever it is. And the first fundamental point of that is understanding these things. So these zones, these RPE, and how often you're doing it. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's just dive straight in. What's the first one of these?
First one is your recovery run. And that's pretty much active rest. So this could be anything. Ideal, all you're trying to do is loosen your muscles and promote blood flow. And then it's always done at a low intensity, bare minimum. It's just promoting blood flow, loosening up those muscles. So it's preparing you for a harder session that's coming up later on in the week. If you run these too hard at a heart rate that's well above an easy effort, you're going to not reap the benefits or the rewards later on in the week when it becomes those harder sessions.
Yeah. So exactly as Coach Tom said, a recovery run is exactly that. You want to recover. And the benefit and the point of doing a recovery run is keeping low heart rate, staying in those lower zone. You don't want too much intensity. Your RPE is very low. And you're going to be doing this to recover from the load of whatever you've done. So maybe you've done a Saturday, Sunday, you've done a decent amount of training, and then you need to give your body time again to adapt and change that training. You've put the stress in over the weekend, and now you want to allow your body to adapt to that stress. That's when we're going to be programming these recovery runs in.
The next one is endurance runs, still low intensity to moderate intensity, zone two work, RPEs probably looking around a 5 to 6. And the duration of these ones are going to be between 30 minutes to hours long, depending on what you're training for. Theoretically, all these ones are doing is just trying to get you time on your feet so your body is getting used to the stresses of running at those periods of time. Say, for example, you're running a marathon. You want to be at least going out for endurance runs that are going to be like 2 hours long or maybe even an hour long and back to back.
What's the point? Like, what are we achieving with these more endurance type runs? Like, what zone are we in? And then what's the point of being in that zone?
Well, the zone is low intense. So it's going to be a zone two and your RPE is 5 or 6. And then you pretty much the purpose of the endurance run is to mentally get ready, prepare for it, get your nutrition right into these low intensity workouts and prepare yourself for those races.
This is what most people will call the low and slow, right? This is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to running, the low and slow workout is quite possibly the hardest one. Me and Tom have said this so many times. Most runners come out and it's easy to run hard. When you're new, you just want to thrash your body and go really hard. I think it's really, really difficult to actually get into a true zone too and then do it for a long time because it's often quite boring. You're not doing too much. You're not stressing your body a lot. But you're doing it so you're really developing that aerobic system, which when we're talking about running is a lot of aerobic system.
Yeah, it is. And it's the discipline to stay, isn't it, Geordie? Like it's so easy to just up your tempo and keep on chugging, and especially if you prescribed a distance rather than a time. You just want to get that run done as quick as you can. So you just hop out of that endurance zone and step into the next zone and then away you go. And you're just not reaping the benefits that you could get from those endurance runs.
Yeah, I think when I started out, this was the single most important thing that I did. It was getting these endurance runs really dialed in and actually genuinely staying in my zone two and then doing the duration and not doing, okay, maybe I'll do half of it in zone two and then I really want to finish this and get home and like jump in the shower, watch Netflix. I'm going to bump up my heart rate. It's like, no, you got to really stick it out.
Yeah.
What is the benefit long-term of really sticking out these endurance runs, Coach?
Well, the benefits are you're going to be able to run longer, you know, like at a lower heart rate, you're going to be, your perceived effort's going to be so much lower. Where if you lift that rate, you're not going to be able to sustain that pace for that long. And then you're going to burn out through the rest of the week and then through the rest of your runs. That's the main benefit.
Yeah, if there's one thing I want people to get out of this episode is the importance of these endurance zone two runs. I think they're so important. It's so important, and it's very difficult when you're starting out to get down here because it's hard. You want to run faster. People around you are running faster. They're doing all of these things, but really the discipline of running and long distance running really comes in nailing these. And this is, you know, we'll speak about this a lot in other podcasts and training philosophy and everything, but especially when you're starting out, most of your runs are going to be down in this area.
Yeah, and you'll be very surprised with how slow your pace actually is. You think you're not even running. If you go look at Kipchoge's easy runs, and he's doing 6 minute kilometers to start off with. So if we're going anything quicker than that, are we running 2 hour marathons?
When I started nailing in my endurance runs and actually doing it, I was running 7:30 Ks. I was basically going a little bit faster than if I was slowly walking. There's something I had to do. And like Coach Tom said, you'll adapt over time, you'll get fitter. And as you develop that aerobic system, that's when you'll be able to speed up these runs because you'll be able to run faster and then maintain that true zone two and that lower effort. But at the start, sorry, there's no way to get around it. You've just got to cop it. You got to slow down and you've got to just do it for the time that you're meant to do it.
Consistency is key. And then eventually the rewards will pay off and you'll see all the hard-earned work of being in those endurance zones.
Yeah, talk to me about what a steady state run is.
The main goal for this is just to increase your aerobic fitness for an intensity that is higher than your endurance run. So pretty much all your races that you're going to be racing are going to be at this steady state pace. And the steady state run kind of falls into the zone of zone three, which is normally called like the gray zone where you don't want to train and all this, but you do need to definitely train a little bit in these zones because you're going to be racing at these zones. You don't want to be doing it obviously every run because it's just not going to be beneficial for you. You're going to burn out. You're going to come into a running related injury down the track. And it's just not going to be, you're not going to get a true understanding of what your potential is.
So what is the point and what do you do the steady state run for? What's the goal of it?
Pretty much is to get used to the paces that you're going to be running at for those times. So like a steady state run can be between 20 to 60 minutes. Okay. When either side of that is going to be your warm up and cool down. So it could be a 20 minute at your goal marathon time, which is could be a 4 minute 30 pace. So you're running at those paces, preparing your body for that.
Yeah, from a physiological standpoint, what steady state actually means is that you're bringing in enough oxygen for the oxygen need of your body. And why that is important is because our body needs oxygen to run and to do everything. So if you bring in less oxygen, that's when you start fatiguing and you obviously can't maintain the effort. So even when Coach Tom's saying this is going to be at your marathon pace is probably going to be a lot slower than say, I can guarantee it's a lot slower than say your 5K pace because your body goes in that oxygen deficit, all the lactic acid, everything else builds up. Your steady state run, the reason we call it like this gray zone, is not that the gray zone is necessarily bad. We're probably going to end up racing in that gray zone. It's just that all the adaptations and everything that we want to get out of our training, we have to train certain systems in our body. And then when we're in this steady state zone, we're not particularly training one or the other. But as Coach Tom said, this still serves a really good purpose because at the end of the day, when you go out and run your 10K, half marathon, full marathon, this is probably where you're going to be. And the first time you're going to be there, you don't want it to be race day. You want to get pretty familiar with being there beforehand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I actually had this conversation this morning when I was running with a mate and we were talking about this gray zone. If we train in zone two and progressively get better at zone two training, that zone three training moves up. So our pace gets quicker and quicker towards that zone four, and the zone four keeps moving as well. As you get fitter in that zone two area, it increases the zone three pacings and then it increases the zone four pacings, which leads us into the next key running workout of tempo runs. No one really likes these ones as well. These ones are an effort that zone four, so RP of an 8 to a 9, they're intervals pretty much of 8 to 20 minutes. So anything bigger than a track workout, really. So from a 2K upwards.
Yeah, tempo runs are very, very tough. And I guess if we're saying a steady state run is that point where your body can bring in enough oxygen to meet the demand, when you get into the tempo run, you're pretty much flirting on the line where your body can't get enough in and you're going to be building up too much lactic. They absolutely suck. And these runs hurt.
Yeah, unfortunately, it just shows how truly fit you are these runs and the next zone as well. And then there's no way around it but other than just to do them and to suck up and just get through it.
Yeah, so this is zone 4, which is if you're looking at, yeah, I don't know, maybe you've got the Polar Bead or you've got Garmin Connect or whatever you're looking at, this is going into that orange zone type thing, and the RPE is 8 to 9. What type of things are you feeling in an RPE of 8 and 9?
8 to 9, definitely you're feeling that muscle burn and it feels like your lactic acid burning and all that. You're breathing, you're not getting many sentences out. You're probably getting 1 to 2 sentences out max at all. And it's really going to be in and out of the mouth, labored breathing.
And what is the point of putting yourself through this hell?
Well, it's really making you, it's making you quicker, isn't it? Like it's getting your body used to running at that type of level and progressing your high-end type of fitness, those VO2 max, making that a little bit bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. From like a physiology standpoint, when we run out of that oxygen, we switch into a different energy system. We got that aerobic system. We got this anaerobic system. Aerobic works really well because it works on oxygen and we can breathe all the oxygen that's around us all the time. And then when we get into this anaerobic, it works not on oxygen. And it's that lactic acid, as Coach Tom just mentioned, we're trying to clear that. And so when you're getting into these higher zone 4 sessions, you're getting your body better at clearing the lactic acid. And that's what allows these crazy guys like Kipchoge and everything. They've just got such a well-developed system that they can run at these crazy paces and intensities and still get through it. They're still hurting, they're still burning, but they're just so efficient at clearing it. And their zones, like Coach Tom was saying before, are so developed and so ahead of all of us that they can just do it. But the fact of the matter, to work that system, to use it or lose it, it's like going to the gym and doing bicep curls. That's how you get bigger biceps. If you want to get better at clearing the lactate in your system, and you have to do these tempo sessions. They hurt, but they're absolutely necessary to run faster.
Yeah, that's it. And there goes to show how much they can sustain at those type of speeds as well when you look at those marathon runners, aren't they?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But let's go into the final, the very last one, the running intervals.
Running intervals. So these are, yeah, high intensity, maximal effort. This is pretty much, it's all aimed at your VO2 max, increasing those numbers. And the RPE is going to be a 10 out of 10. And all these workouts are pretty much done on a track base. So like a 400 meter repeats, 800 meter repeats, 200 meter repeats, all that kind of work. And then it's going to last between 1 to 4 minutes. And you're not going to be able to sustain it for much longer than that, just purely because of the lactate buildup, as you were saying, in those tempo runs. And then, yeah, you just won't be able to sustain it.
Yeah, these sessions are very, very tough and they're hard, but they serve such a good purpose for this high-end work. And if your goal is to run faster, I think to run faster, you got to do two things, is get really good at running slow and working in that zone 2 and doing the endurance runs. But then you've got to actually run fast and do a lot of running fast. And like Coach Tom said, you got to run to a point where you're not going to be able to sustain these. And this is really hard. You're literally pushing your body to its max. The VO2 max is the maximal amount of oxygen that you can take up in your body. And you're pretty much testing that limit with these sessions. They're really hard, but they serve a really important purpose. I guess I've seen with people, coaches, you say, let's do a 10 out of 10 RPE. And it's tough to push your body to that. It's quite tough to push your body to that. What does a 10 out of 10 RPE feel like?
What it feels like is, is you're going to die, really. Like you're not going to be able to breathe. You pretty much are going to be able to get one-worded responses out of you, and that's about it. It's the feeling, I guess you're going to hurt yourself really as well, but you don't want to push it too far because you're going to get a running related injury and such. So that's why these ones are only really done once a week, because you're working at such extreme efforts.
Yeah, I think that's great. I always think of it like a car, right? If you want to keep it really basic and go through the gears on a car, like first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. These are the ones where you're in fifth gear and you're on the highway and you're flooring it, but the speed limit for a reason, and you shouldn't be going above that speed limit for too long. So you can only stay there for a little bit of time and you got to wind it back.
Yeah, I feel like if you relate that car gearing and all that, if you stay in first gear and you just don't change,
yeah,
you just reach the maximum indicator on the RPMs, that's what it feels like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your car is just the piston's about to blow out of the hood.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. But I think that's an awesome summary. And like I said at the start, important to understand this. No matter what distance you're doing, you could be getting ready for a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, 50K, 100K. You're going to be doing iterations of these workouts all throughout your program. Again, the whole point of programming and training is to develop your body and develop you as an athlete to be able to complete whatever the work is that you're trying to do, whether it's a 5K, 10K, half, full, whatever it is. And to do that, you've got to swap and change these workouts in, do them in certain ways and develop your physiology. And it's really important that you understand it purely because each workout has a purpose. And like Coach Tom said, you don't want to be doing your easy runs and then not actually having them easy because they serve a purpose. Your recovery runs serve a big purpose. You don't want to be going in to your interval work and then not really pushing hard and doing what just because, oh, I can't be bothered there. It's like, no, that serves a purpose. So let's make sure that you are ready. And because that's what's going to make sure when you get to that start line or whatever the race is, knowing that you've got the system on board to achieve what you want to achieve in that race.
Yeah, that's it. Everything's got a purpose behind it, and just keep those easy days easy and those hard days hard.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to wrap up. So there's five key running workouts for runners explained. I think that makes a lot of sense. If you're listening to this, if you've downloaded one of our programs, if you've got a run program, look through it. Now you should be able to look through it and go, oh, okay, like I can recognize these different sessions. And hopefully now you understand what you should be doing during these sessions. But that was a really informative episode, Coach, and I'll chat to you next time.
Sounds good. See you, Jordy.
And there it is, another episode of the We Know Running podcast. If you enjoyed that episode, be sure to give us a review and share it with a running buddy. If you're looking for more information about training, technique, gear, nutrition, and even free run programs for distances from 3 kilometers up to 100 kilometers, then be sure to check out www.wenorunning.com.au. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you guys for the next episode.